Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, State Senator James Settlemyer will give us a rural look at Nevada. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Fred Lockin, Michael Hackett, and Randy Thompson. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts, so you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator James Settlemyer. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Congratulations. You were running unopposed this time around. What does that mean for you when you get to run unopposed?
To me, I was more shocked probably than anybody else out there. So there's two ways to run, scared or unopposed. So by running unopposed, that means now I don't necessarily have to clutter up the landscape with quite as many political signs as you probably would if you had an opponent. So that's kind of nice.
Do you go out and fundraise for other candidates?
I think there's always a desire to go out there and try to help your caucus out and to help other individuals. And after being in the minority now for 8 years, I've heard this rumor that being in the majority would be a lot funner. So in that respect, it would be kind of nice to try to get to the majority.
Let's talk about being in the minority, because even though you've been in the minority for your entire career in the legislature, both in the Assembly and in the Senate, you have been fairly effective at getting bills passed and getting legislation passed. And, you know, you're seen as somebody who, even though is in the minority, can get things done.
Yeah, when I started, I actually started under Barbara Buckley, was the majority leader within the Assembly. And she was very difficult to have to be as a leader, per se, because she was very strong and dominant and didn't allow opposing viewpoints necessarily to get out all the time. But again, I worked with that leadership style and had the ability to get bills through effectively. And I've always tried to bring bills that kind of ran the gamut. And some were very conservative. Some bills weren't quite as conservative. And it was always interesting to me, there was no guarantee which bill got out. My first session, I had a conservative idea, which was that businesses that actually didn't collect sales tax shouldn't have to fill out the form. And that's kind of a crazy idea, but it got through.
Crazy? I mean, that seems to make perfect sense to me.
It saved $4 million, and it cut bureaucratic red tape, though. And there were some people that didn't like the idea of businesses not having to submit paperwork. But it just made sense, because we were paying $27 a form to process that. And yet, in the same respect, we were collecting zero. Not real mathematical problem there to figure out the state of Nevada is losing about $3 to $4 million a year.
What we're facing in this state, if things don't turn around in the next month or so, we've got maybe a month to go in this, is the drought situation, particularly in northern Nevada. I mean, we're well aware of what's going on in southern Nevada, but it's a big problem in northern Nevada, too. And it's at a crazy time when alfalfa is a great crop that is in great need. We have a dry milk plant that's opening up in Fallon that everything that they can produce is already purchased by the Chinese, and that the firm is asking people to double their herds to be able to provide the amount of tonnage of milk that's needed. How do you view this? And for those that don't know, you are a rancher.
Correct. It's very problematic. You know, before the recent storms occurred, we were down to, 15% snowpack. I think now we're to a whopping 27, which is a lot better than 15.
Right.
But I represent Churchill County now. And obviously, the Carson River, we're going to start irrigating pretty soon. There will be no more water going towards Fallon, which, as we know, Lake Lahontan might be able to be reclassified as a pond. You know, unfortunately, it just doesn't have the water in it that's necessary for the year. So it's going to be extremely difficult. People are going to be cut back on the amount they can produce. I think you'll see guys get maybe one crop with their alfalfa, and if they're lucky, two, if they have a pump. But then, yeah, no third, no fourth for sure. It creates a huge problem, but hay prices are high right now, as you indicated. Yeah, it'd be great to have more water, but there's no solution to that problem.
No, and excuse me, one more second here. One of the other things was that water is being released sooner than later because the fear is that if you don't use it sooner, then evaporation will take care of that.
And also the simple fact, Sam, that adds on to that is we've had such a dry year. The plants that are existing now, they need a drink. They have not had that from another nature, so they need some water early.
Now, cattle, that's also been affected by the drought. The BLM, they can come in and say, you can only have X number of cattle. What is that going to do to cattle prices?
Those individuals out there on the rangelands have that fear that, you know, and it's a reality. They'll come in and say that due to the lack of water, we no longer can support 1,000 AUMs, animal unit months, on this rangeland. We can only have 500. So if you're raising on government land, that's going to be a major factor. Then that means they're going to have to sell. And you've seen a sell-off. And so, interesting, where a time frame where everybody's trying to build their herd numbers, all of a sudden the government steps in and says, too bad. And so it's going to create a situation where they have to sell them. And then how that all plays with the sage grouse, the desert tortoise, to everything else is also another problem.
Okay, so I want to get into sage grouse in just a minute here. But, you know, it just seems that people don't realize that agriculture is the third biggest industry in the state of Nevada. Is it a question it just doesn't market itself, you know, to the general public so that they're aware of how big an industry this really is?
You know, traditionally with agriculture, as long as everybody sees agriculture, they don't think about it. It's when they don't see agriculture that they start to worry about it. When you see more homes getting built in an area that used to be agricultural, that's when people start to worry about it. Yes, we need to market ourselves better. We're in the process of trying to grow. Luckily or unluckily, California has been doing its best to kill a lot of businesses and send them over to Nevada, and that includes the agricultural sector as well with some of their laws and rules. It just chases them out of that particular state. You know, they start doing a carbon tax on cattle and things of that nature, it tends to ship them over.
They have one.
They've discussed it. And this, the fear of even discussing something sometimes will scare businesses away, which, you know, we run into in the state of Nevada now. Just the discussion of the margins tax has got businesses that were thinking of moving here saying, you know what, we're going to wait. We're going to see how this unfolds before we come here.
All right, let's take a break. More with James Settlemyer when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. the Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Settlemyer.
Senator, we've seen in the last session, and then they had just this past week, a discussion on Southern Nevada issues. Legislators in Southern Nevada saying, we need to focus on Southern Nevada. Are you seeing sectionalism, you know, in your 8 years that since you've been elected, have you seen sectionalism become more and more prevalent in the legislative process?
Unfortunately so. I'm actually the head of the Rural Caucus. I took it over from Senator McGinnis. And within the Rural Caucus, it's always been an issue of education, trying to teach some of the other legislators there some of the problems that we face in the rural areas that don't exist. A bill last year by Ms. Flores talked about the idea of having an ambulance and a doctor, an EMT, at particular functions that had more than 5,000 people. And we had to kind of have an educational concept with her to show that, unfortunately, in some of these rural communities, we don't have those individuals. So are you saying we shouldn't be allowed to have events? And that realization, you know, once educated, she realized the bill needed to be changed. And it's always been more about education. But right now, there seems to be a big discussion of taking money from one area and shipping it to another. And to me, if inequities have been created in the past over a 10, 20, 30-year period, then those equities need to be remedied again over a 10, 20, 30-year period. Unfortunately, what happened last session where the small community colleges, in my opinion, were decimated by the budget that came out. And, you know, I look at it for my campus in Fallon that exists over there in Western Nevada Community College. It created a huge problem. And I don't think it's right to necessarily take, per se, hundreds of dollars per student away over here to basically give a quarter per student down there. The effect wasn't there.
Okay, but I mean, let's face it. There have been powerful voices and continue to be powerful voices. Brian Greenspun, through Las Vegas Sun, Jim Rogers, upon whose television station in Las Vegas we air, that have pointed out the inequities that have occurred over the years. And a lot of it was caused by the fact that the Northern Nevada delegates to the legislature were better organized and in some cases much more experienced, and the Southern Nevada delegation was not as organized, and it was easier to pick people off. That has changed, and now the population base in Southern Nevada has grown so dramatically that I think that, you know, there is a justification for Southern Nevada legislators being pushed by the population to say, hey, you know, we haven't had our fair share as we've grown to 2 million people, and, you know, they're not going to be prepared to wait 30 years.
No, I understand
I think that, you know, your point is really well made, which is that, you know, we have to educate Southern Nevada about the needs both in Northern Nevada, rural Nevada, because they're truly not aware of them.
No, I agree with what you're indicating, Sam, but as I said, it happened over a period of time, and you can't expect it to happen over one or two sessions. And what I see going on is, from now on, increases, let's face it, if we have increase in road funding, sadly it's not going to occur in Northern Nevada or in rural Nevada. All increase in road funding is going to go to the I-15 corridor because it's necessary, because they have traffic problems there that make ours look, well, very small, to say the least. And in that respect, when you see increases, they're going to go to those regions, as they should. But to come in and say that maybe somebody's budget needs to be reduced by 20% or 30% up here in the north, I find offensive, because we never did that to them. We never said, okay, we're going to take 10, 20% from your school kids to give to these school kids. And I don't think we should do that now.
But I think part of it is an education process so that people understand why things were done the way they were done. And it wasn't, to quote the phrase, to screw Southern Nevada, but it was done because there were needs in other parts of the state as well. We only have a couple of minutes here, and I wanted to get to a really important issue that I know you're well up on, which is, and you brought it up earlier, the sage grouse and the potential listing here. How devastating do you believe that would be for Nevada?
I can't even underestimate how. It would be so devastating. It would kick a lot of cattle, obviously, off the rangelands. That affects the local communities, but even to the realm of exploration as far as mining, whether it be natural gas, whether it be oil, all the different things that Nevada has to offer. We actually have a lithium mine in Nevada, so you're talking renewable energy, which then brings you into renewable energy. You're not going to be able to have the geothermal exploration. You're not going to be able to have the solar arrays. So the concept of this bird, which unfortunately isn't being listed based on science, it's being based on the fact that some judge decided that the simplest way to solve a lawsuit was to tell the state of Nevada that either you pass more burdensome regulation or we're going to list the sage grouse. Since when does a judge have that authority? It needs to be based on science. And that's a real question. What are we going to do? You know, the governor has propagated his own plan, which I found to be the least burdensome plan to go with. I think it's called Plan E. The government's come up through the BLM Forest Services plans A through D, and they're very problematic.
Ultimately, do you think this is going to be a federal solution? I know both Senator Heller and Senator Reid have been working in concert with each other to try to address this. Do you think that's where we're going to have to get the solution ultimately?
I have no idea where the solution is going to come. It's going to have to probably be from some higher players out there. But, you know, speaking of the Reid-Heller plan on sage grouse, I'm not fond of that one either.
Why?
I find it to be, it's stated that you can only have one renewable energy area designated. Okay, Churchill County's got three or four geothermal already. Do I got to shut down the rest? So obviously that bill needs some large amendments before I could myself be able to go that way. And I think they realize that and will start working that way. They said what they began was for discussion. However, the discussion they began for my constituents, we're very scared.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. James Settlemyer, thank you so much, and congratulations on your unimpeded run.
We'll
be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Short sales are getting easier, so call Marsha Realty today for all the benefits for you and your family. It's time for a fresh start. Call us today at 473-1055 or renohelp.org.
In 2013, Marsha Realty had the most short sales ever. So 2014 will be the best year to have a fresh start. Call us today at 473-1055 or renohealth.org for all the benefits.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Fred Locken is here, professor of political science at TMCC. Randy Thompson is our political analyst, and Michael Hackett is with All Risk Consulting. Pleasure to have you all here. Interesting story from Sandy Cherub into today's Reno Gazette Journal and other papers. Nevada Medicaid enrollments under the federal health care reform have surpassed initial projections and are on pace to reach 500,000 by summer, a mark initially not expected to be reached until the end of 2015. Randy, your thoughts?
Well, that's actually one of the side benefits of Obamacare. But actually, before we start, when you and I interviewed Marilyn New York last time, this is the second time we'd interviewed her. And the two times I've interviewed her, we talk a lot about Chuck Weller and some of the other judges she's been in front of. I kind of failed to disclose the last time that we interviewed her that my firm is actually handing Chuck Weller's opponent, so I apologize for that, because I ask the same questions, but I forget the context sometimes that I'm working in, so I just want to disclose
okay,
that
well,
I actually am
that.
Doing the, well, I'm not doing it, but my firm is doing it. So back to Medicare and Obamacare. But this is one of the scary parts. I'm sure Michael can talk more about it, especially being representing the medical industry for so long. But we are seeing the Medicaid numbers higher and higher. California is actually looking at expanding their Medicaid to provide Medi-Cal to the illegal aliens who are not able to get Obamacare. So we're kind of developing a whole new group of people that are going to be reaching out and getting health care all at taxpayer expense.
Michael, it seems to me, as I read the story, it just seemed to strike me that this was the plan all along.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, I don't think they expected the enrollment numbers to be where they are right now at this particular point, but I think they always knew that this was going to be a significant increase in the caseload. And I don't want to say they're still trying to figure out how they're going to manage that caseload, but I think if you look at that article and they talk about the backlog of requests that they're still trying to process, this is a very challenging task for them.
And this was a much easier group to go and get than it was the youth that they need.
Precisely. Although the burden of this and all of the cynicism about Obamacare will soon visit, I think, Medicaid as well. I mean, this is a huge financial obligation and burden. And, frankly, there are a number of people out there that probably could be following the more tried and true Obamacare process but are taking advantage of the Medicaid route.
You know, it's interesting, too, listening to the Fed response, and yes, I have no life, but talking about the lackluster inflation numbers, because really that's the way we're going to get rid of this huge debt that we have is by inflation, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's actually been one of the thoughts, is that they were going to kind of ramp that up to try to wipe away as much of the debt that we have as possible. It's an odd thing to be actually thinking that we want inflation. On the other hand, it's probably preferable to the either stagflation or deflation that many other economists are concerned we could go in the other direction. But yes, inflation seems to be the plan.
And Randy, doesn't that concern you that we already have a situation where people on a fixed income, living off savings, living off 401ks and things like that, where there's been zero interest rates on that, inflation will now eat into that buying power as well. I've said it before in this program, I think that there's going to be a whole generation that's not going to ever get to retire.
Well, and Janet Yellen spoke yesterday saying that they're actually now looking at increasing interest rates on banks. So you're going to see not only inflation, but you're going to see the interest rates now going up as well. I mean, inflation only went up 0.1% last month, but it's still there.
Okay, but won't that help the public, especially businesses, to be able to get loans? Because with the interest rates so low, the banks have been loath to actually go out and lend it. They've just made money moving it backwards and forwards.
Yeah, this should help access to capital for the small business guys. And you're seeing banks actually lending a little bit more now. I mean, I know Wells Fargo put out something recently that they've expanded their business loans. So it is inching out, and I think actually raising the interest rates will help get a little bit money back into the economy.
Well, and you know, it's funny because Wells Fargo is making subprime loans again, but they just don't call them that anymore.
Yeah, smart move on their part.
They seem to be a little more cautious this time. I mean, yeah, I know they are, but
yeah, I think you really have to fog up the whole mirror, not just a portion. I'm not cynical at all.
No,
okay.
Not at all.
So my favorite story is coming out yesterday. Las Vegas City Council says okay to medical marijuana facilities. Clark County Commission allows medical marijuana dispensaries. Do you think the lobbying corps has gotten to the counties and the cities?
Apparently, this is the slowest rollout, considering that the state had authorized.
They're on marijuana. Come on. Of course it's a slow rollout.
Oh, dude, let's not go too fast.
And all you have to do is open up a snack store right next door.
Yeah.
I mean, or sell Girl Scout cookies.
That's right. Like the Girl Scout
burrito shop next door.
Yeah. You know, Colorado's already demonstrating that there is money to be made in marijuana. So, the medical marijuana is a start, but I think this will be a topic in the next legislature. legislative session as well.
Well, the application process is about a 600-page process, which no one's really seen the official one.
So you can't smoke anything before you fill out the form. Otherwise, it's a 10-year process.
And there are lawyers saying, hey, you know, we'll fill out your application for you, and we'll guarantee you a dispensary for only $100,000. Mm-hmm. So I've worked this bill at the legislature, but all my clients and I have stepped back because we're like, we don't really like what's happening right now with the elements that are getting engaged in this. So, but the state's done a fabulous job. I have to really give kudos out to...
Okay, and unfortunately, we are out of time, so we'll give them kudos, but we got to go. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
At Bradley, Drendel, and Janae, we fight for the legal rights of our clients here in Nevada. We are also proud to partner with News 4 in recognizing the Nevada Military Support Alliance. Nevada's servicemen and women stand in harm's way to fight for our freedom and the way of life we all enjoy as Americans, some giving the ultimate sacrifice to defend our great nation. At Bradley, Drendel, and Janae, we are Nevada proud, and we salute America's Armed Forces and the Nevada Military Support Alliance.
If the recent changes in healthcare have you feeling like there's a lot to learn, you're not alone. At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we've done our homework on the new healthcare law, so we can help you make an informed decision, like finding a reliable health insurance plan that's right for you. All our plans offer $0 preventive care benefits to help keep you healthy. Our plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more. Choose from doctors and hospitals in our network. Generations have relied on us for their health care coverage. Apply today. Your coverage is guaranteed, and there are no medical exams required. Act today. It's not too late to apply for health coverage in 2014. Open enrollment ends soon. Now you can get reliable coverage from a name you can trust. Call us at 1-866-768-9305 for a free quote. That's 1-866-768-9305. Or visit lookatanthem.com.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. And on the guests and topics coming up next week, Howard Rosenberg will be here, and he'll tell us whether he likes pre-K or not. And we'll have an immigration debate with Dick Gamet, Angie Taylor, and Chris Wicker. It gets quite heated right here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.